Early this past week, I found the following saying: your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. You get that one, did you? Your talk talks, your walk walks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. What do you think the person meant when he wrote that? What's going on? Actions speak louder than words? Yep. What's the issue when your talk doesn't match up with your walk? What goes on there? What's the issue? Hypocrisy, yeah. People go, hang on a second. You can say all the words you want, but hang on, your actions don't match up. Those things. Well, as we turn to chapter 5 of Ephesians this morning, we're encouraged by Paul to walk in three different ways. Again, I've got three words for you. Actually, they're actually Paul's words. I've just took them out of the Bible. And first he says to us, walk in love, walk in light, walk in wisdom. Love, light, wisdom. As such, I've titled the message today, Walking the Walk. Actually, in these 20 verses, we will find imperatives or commands that David Price spoke about the other week. Things we are strongly encouraged to do as believers. People now of God's kingdom. So tighten your seatbelts and see how you are going with your walk, eh? Let's pray as we think about it. Father, as we open your word and your word challenges us again today, Father, help us to think about how our walk is going. And Father, if you need to speak to us, we want to be open to the leading of your Spirit in our life this morning. We ask that in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So first of all, we have walk in love. Am I on okay, Keith? I can walk away. It's okay? I can talk louder. Ephesians 5, 1 to 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for its sweet-smelling aroma. As we've mentioned a number of times, when Paul wrote this letter, he didn't include verses and chapters. They just weren't there. It was a letter which he wrote. So when Paul writes, therefore, he starts with our chapter 5, therefore, it's thinking about something that is already written beforehand. He's saying, hang on a second, because of this, now this. If you turn to Ephesians 4:32, you'll find this. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. As Paul writes, be imitators of God. And he's saying, as God has shown his love to us through Christ, you do that also. Walk in love as the new people. Back in Paul talks in Ephesians 4:24 that we are new people, members of a new kingdom, God's kingdom. Then in verses 3 to 4, we find Paul listing a number of things which he says are not fitting for kingdom people to be involved with, various things which don't show love. This is very, very sensitive, Peter. It's very sensitive. And Vicky read out to us, fornication or uncleanliness. That's sexual immorality. He's talking about sex outside of marriage with an adultery. Covetousness, greed, filthiness, obscenity, foolish talking, coarse jesting. He's saying, here's some things. And you may remember Peter actually mentioned a few as he touched the last week, and we find him in Ephesians 4 as well. When you look at that list, you've got to think about it. In relation to the last few, have you ever heard someone say to you something which was hurtful and then say, oh, I was only joking? Were they? Actually, Jesus gave an idea about this, and you'll find it in Matthew 15:11, and he says, But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. Oh, I was only joking. Were you? What did you really mean by those things? Paul goes on to say, for this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous person, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. So what happens when we get caught up in some of these things, which can, and I would say possibly can happen, and I know it's happened to me, and it's quite possible that it's happened to you as well. You may remember last week, Peter pointed out that verse in Ephesians 4:26. Be angry and do not sin. There will be times when you will be angry. There will be times when you may want to reply or respond to somebody. You may remember David Price gave the example the other week that he received an email and he quickly wrote a response back. And he, I think he, his words were, they were quite curt words, I think it was that sort of thing. And he said, if I'd really thought about it and left it to the next morning, I may have sent those same words back. Sometimes we need to think about what we're doing and how we're saying. How are we responding to some of those things that are going on? Are we acting in love or revenge or perhaps spite? Well, what happens when we find ourselves in breach of these things? Well, Paul mentions that what should be our response? Well, we can certainly turn to passages like 1 John 1:8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Actually, I think the NIV says, you are a liar, I think it says. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to recognise there will be times in your life, and there's certainly been times in my life, when some of those things that Paul's talking about, we will act upon. What do? Because we're now people of the kingdom, the other great thing is that God says, come to me and I will forgive you. But you've got to do something about it. And also you may need to go to the person. So always keep a passage like this. And I think the NIV, I'm almost certain it says, if you think you never sin, you're a liar. You deceive yourself. And Paul finishes this part, and let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Have any of you ever had to serve in a jury in a court case? You have? Okay. I was actually called up once to the Supreme Court. I got to go through that big room where you sit down and have your lunch and your number is called up. And then I had to go into a courtroom, sat there, and you're sitting there with more people in the jury they actually need. And then they do ask you that question, are there any reason why you shouldn't be serving on this one? And you quickly think. I thought about, hang a second. I put up my hand and said, okay, yep. And so he said, okay. So then you had to walk past the actually guilty person. They told them who they were. You had to walk up, swear on the Bible and so on type thing. And I said, well, I'm a pastor of a church and I really can't do this. As soon as I said pastor, I could see the guy go, we don't want him. It does help to be a pastor every now and again. We don't want that guy. So I was actually exempt. But it was a great experience, can I tell you? I'm not certain this happens in real life, but watching court cases on TV, I sometimes heard a prosecutor or a defence lawyer say something about a person, then they're pulled up by the judge and they have to withdraw the remark. Have you ever seen that? I'm not quite sure if it really happens in real courts, but it happens on the TV. And the judge tells the jury to disregard that comment. Yeah, sure. disregard the comment. It's too late. The jury's already heard it. We, by our words, we need to be careful what we say, because you can't take them. You can't. There's not a judge saying, please disregard that. That ain't going to happen. When it's been said, it's been heard and the actions are taken. Paul is telling us here to be mindful of what we do, how we act, walk, and especially what we say. Is it in love? We need to also be mindful that our walk also bears the responsibility of being a positive influence in the world in which we live. And so Paul talks about walking in the, next one, light. Walking in the light. And so we read, I'll go this way this time. For we were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light, which comes from Isaiah, of course. Walk in the light. Paul has reminded us in Ephesians 2:1-3 that before becoming true believers, we were in darkness. But here in Ephesians 5:8, he tells us we are light in the Lord, and you should walk as children of the light. Then he tells us in 5:9 that the fruit expected of children of the light, us, you and me, is goodness, righteousness, and truth. And bearing such fruit will fulfill our role as light by proving and demonstrating what is well-pleasing to the Lord. And we find in Ephesians 5:10. Then we will find what is well-pleasing to the Lord. I'm almost certain that Gordon, I think a few weeks ago, spoke from Matthew 5:14 of the salt and the light. I thought it was Gordon. I think it was either Keith or Gordon. I was racking my brains. Gordon, it was you? I'm not getting old. I do remember things after all. And we find in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all those in the house. What it's saying is, as kingdom people, you can't hide it. You're actually out there. People are watching and listening to you and to what you are saying. And being people of the light and walking the light will not always be easy, because people, Paul's encouraging that we take the active role and actually exposing things, speaking about God's truth, but always in love. Back about 10 years ago, I was involved with a small group of Baptist pastors around the time when the same-sex marriage issue was under discussion. Amongst Baptists in Australia, the issue was to ensure that we were truthful to Scripture. Yes, in love, but truthful to Scripture. Discussions were held across the Baptist unions of all the states, and a definition was established, being that marriage is a union between a man and a woman, to the exclusion of all others, voluntarily entered into for life. Actually, this definition is still the current one now. All the states adopted this except for Victoria. The actual heads of all those accepted it, except for our state at that period of time. The group of pastors I was involved with raised this issue with the BUV and raised enough support from other Baptist pastors for the issue to be discussed at a gathering, and Baptists have two gatherings a year. After much discussion, and there was a bit of to-ing and fro-ing, the end result was it was passed, and can I add, by a large percentage, not by 100%, can I tell you, but it was passed by a large percentage. But I and others did receive from negative feedback, because of the strong stance that we made 10 years ago. As Christians, whether we like it or not, we are like a city upon the hill. People will look at you, will look at us. They will observe how we think, speak, and act. They will take notice of our character, behavior, and attitude. And there will be times when we will need to take action and we will need to expose wrongs. Well, first we thought about walk in... Are you there? Anybody there? Second, we thought about walk in... Third one is... Wisdom. Oh, people do remember things. Oh, there. Hang on a second. Walk in wisdom. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, and which is a dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of... Where's the best bit? In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's down. It's on the back of the screen. Okay? It is there. I led a Bible study a few years ago at Fenchurch Gully Baptist Church. And with regard to these six verses, I found someone writing these things which I thought were very helpful. First of all, he said, be circumspect in life rather than following out whims and lusts. Secondly, he said, redeem the time instead of wasting it on shallow just pursuits. Because Paul's saying, there's not much time left. You haven't got much time, so don't waste your time. Redeem the time. Use it. Third, he says, understand the Lord's will and live to please Him, not to please yourself. We sang songs about that just before. Avoid drunkenness and addiction and its consequences. Be filled with the Spirit to bear His fruit. I think that Peter touched on it, but last week's passage in Ephesians 4:30, don't grieve the Spirit. It is possible. Can I tell you right now, you need to remind yourself this. When you gave your life to the Lord, when you by faith believed, the Holy Spirit came to live within you. But you can grieve the Spirit. You can stop the Spirit from impacting your life. Spirit doesn't leave, but you won't allow. You can stop the Spirit actually acting and working through in your life. That's what grieving the Spirit actually means. Then he says, sing spiritual songs, make melody to the Lord with your hearts. We did this morning. That's why we are encouraged to continue joining together as church, to sing those songs. I don't do this often. I don't sing in the shower very much. Lynn can mostly tell you that one. I think there was a couple of times at Millgrove Baptist Church, especially when I was a very early pastor. I do remember once getting up in the front saying, I don't really want to be here this morning. No, I think I said it a bit later on. It was during the announcement time. So when I first came here this morning, I didn't want to be here. But I said, as soon as we started singing, I thought, that's great. This is where I want to be. I'm joined. Just to... There will be times. If you tell the truth, there'll be times when you think, I don't want to be here. But as soon as you start getting into worship, there's something about that singing songs, a melody to the Lord especially, that just uplift us especially. Give thanks to the Lord, he said, recognizing how he blesses our lives and walks with us. Submit to one another rather than scrambling for supremacy. Have reverence and fear of God rather than blaspheming him. Fear of God is not being afraid of God, but it's recognizing who the Lord God is. He's not just a buddy. He's the Lord God who created the whole creation. But he says, you can call me Father, because you are my child. That's a great thing to think about, especially. And Paul finishes off this section, as he has already written in Ephesians 5:4, by saying, give thanks always. What are some things that you are thankful for just today? Any things you can think of that you are thankful for just today? It's not 30 degrees? Yeah. What else are you thankful? Not can be. What are you thankful for just today? We're able to be here? Yeah, Judy. Yep. What else are you thankful for just today? Still alive? But you could be in heaven. That's the other side. What else are you thankful for just today? Your health? Sorry, over here. You're here? Yep. Other things? Family? Yep. Great, yeah. What else are you thankful for? That you can pay your bills? Yeah. Practical stuff, yeah. Children of God, yeah, yeah. You know, there's times it's so easy to be sad and think about, and you can raise another list of all the things that you are not happy about. But I can tell you, when you do that, you go like this. When you go, but hang on a second, I'm actually thankful for some things. That actually lifts your spirit. And he says, give thanks to the Lord in all things especially. And here in these verses, he reminds us that we are filled by the Spirit. A good example of this, if you ever, there's the old evangelism book called Christianity Explained. And the concept, as you open up the book and you get near to the end, the concept of showing about being filled with the Spirit is a house. And it suggests that when we become a Christian, it's like the Holy Spirit comes and enters in the foyer, or the little entrance of your house. And the challenge then is to allow the Spirit to come into all the rooms of your house. And that's like letting Him be in all of your life. And that's the challenge that we all have. He's in the entrance, but is He in all the rooms? Is He in your life? Is He leading all aspects of life, your financial side, all the other sides, the family side? Is He in part of all your life especially? And Paul used an example here, and he speaks about not to be drunk. I've never, ever been drunk. I'm not lying. I've never been drunk. I've had 1.5 cigarettes. The other half, I just... That's up to you if you smoke or not. But I've never, ever been drunk. But I've seen people who are drunk, and they are controlled by the drink. It controls them. He's saying, don't be controlled with drink. Maybe he's looking at someone. He says, be controlled by the Holy Spirit in your life especially. And to walk in wisdom is to recognize that we need the Holy Spirit's guidance every day. I started off with the saying, your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. I think it's great, that. The question is, how is your walk as a Christian going? You, as a member of God's kingdom, how is your walk going? What's the first one? We first thought about walking in love. Second one was walk in. Third one was walk in wisdom. Love, light, wisdom. In case you didn't get it, it's up there. It's up 24 lines. But it's always good to remember, and we're reminded in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. We need to always just remind ourselves that we are still on the journey, a journey of being transformed. The other word, the old word, is sanctification. But it's like being transformed. And there will be times when we won't always get it right. We may slip. You may slip in your walk. But we must always remember we don't walk alone. The Lord is with us and wants to help us. As such, we can sing songs like we did just before. In that song, Lord, Reign in Me, we find in verse 2, over every thought, over every word, may my life reflect the beauty of my Lord. In the song we sang, Speak, O Lord, we find words in verse 2, teach us, Lord, full obedience, holy reverence, true humility. Test our thoughts and our attitudes in the radiance of our purity. If you're like me, there will be times when you will struggle in your walk. It's no good just avoiding and saying, no, I'm a Christian, that will never happen to me. You know what? What Sir John says? You're a liar. There will be times when you will struggle. But we have a God who says, I understand and I am with you. Journey on. You're being transformed. It didn't say you are transformed. It doesn't say you are. It says you are being transformed. It's still a journey thing in all of our lives. Let me pray for us, because I don't know about you, but I do struggle times of ongoing walk. Let me pray, and let me leave a quiet space as well for you. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, challenging words, as you, by your Holy Spirit, led Paul to write these down. Father, you call us and invite us into the kingdom, into your kingdom, not our kingdom. But Lord, you also show things that you would encourage us that we need to be growing in, journeying in, as you transform us into the being that you want us to be. And we won't make it this side of heaven. But Father, we would pray that you will help us. And Father, as your children here this morning, Father, we're just going to have a quiet space. Maybe by your Holy Spirit, you need to be teaching or talking to someone this morning. So let's just have this quiet moment. Father, you reminded us in 1 John that when we do struggle, when we do find ourselves really hitting the wall a bit, we've just got to come to you and you will forgive us. So Father, as maybe your children have spoke to you this morning, Father, may you continue to lead and guide our lives. Continue transforming our lives, we ask in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. And his people said...